I want to thank the Reverend McRae for ministering song to us at both of our services today. It's certainly much appreciated, and even those words are certainly a blessing to our heart. If you have your Bibles now, we're returning in our studies to the book of Acts this evening. The book of Acts and the chapter 12. The book of Acts and the chapter 12. We're recommencing our two studies today. As you are aware, we recommenced the one on Elijah this morning, and this evening we once again return to the book of Acts, the chapter 12, and we're going to break into the reading at the verse number 12. Acts chapter 12, and we'll commence reading together at the verse 12. The Word of God says in Acts 12 and the verse 12, when he had considered the thing, that's speaking of Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Amen. We do trust and pray that the Lord will once again bless the reading of his precious word. We return tonight, as I said, to Acts 12, and as we consider these verses tonight, we will do so under the heading, The Faith of Rhoda. The Faith of Rhoda. Let's just have a moment's prayer, please, as we look to the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee with thy word open. Lord, we do, and we are so conscious of our great need of help, and we do come and ask thee for it. God, vain is the help of man, it is the help of the Lord that we so desperately need in these times, and even at this time as we come around thy word. We do pray that thou wilt minister to my heart, that thou wilt minister to each and to every heart, O God, that is listening, that thou wilt work by thy Spirit in each one of us, and that thou wilt, O God, even teach us, and Lord, illuminate the page even to us this night, that we will see the unsearchable truths even being presented to us, that we will learn more of our God. We do think and pray for each one that is not saved. Lord, as we consider the faith of Rhoda, and yet there may be those listening that have absolutely no faith, O God, that thou wilt bring them to an end of themselves, that thou wilt show them their great need of repentance and faith in thee. O Lord, we pray that souls will be saved. We pray, O God, that thou wilt deal with hearts, that thou, O God, wilt bring men and women, boys and girls unto thyself. Lord, hear our prayer this night, and bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a story told of Hudson Taylor when he was a missionary in the land of China. And one particular day, he was on board a sailing vessel, and the boat was coming perilously close to islands which were inhabited by cannonballs. The main issue for the boat was that there was absolutely no wind. And that meant, of course, they couldn't put up the sails. There was no energy, there was no power behind them even to get them away from those islands. The great danger and the great and deadly predicament that they found themselves in was that if the ship, if the boat crashed into those rocks and into that island and it came aground, then the cannibals would come and would even attack and destroy all of the individuals that were on the boat. The captain, he came to Hudson Taylor and he asked him to pray for help even from the Lord, to save them both from collision and the cannonballs. Hudson Taylor, he agreed to pray. But before he went down to his cabin, he first demanded and he said to the captain, please, you must put down the seals before I go down to pray. You must unfurl them. You must make them even go up and be ready for the wind that will come. Hudson Taylor, he went to his cabin. And even as he was going to his cabin, the captain was giving the commands, put down the seals, and all of the other sailors were laughing. They were mocking even at that time. Why would we put the seals up when there was absolutely a dead calm? There's no wind at all. And Hudson, he went down and began to pray. And very soon after, there came a knock at his door. And it was the captain, and the captain said to him, Hudson, are you still praying for wind? Hudson said, yes, I am. And the captain says, please stop. We have more wind than we can manage. You know, the last time that we studied the book of Acts together, we considered the great power and the great weapon that we have in prayer. There was Peter lying chained in a prison cell with four soldiers for company. And yet an answer to prayer and an answer to that gathered community, even in the house of Mary Mark, gathering and praying continuously and praying, even as it tells us in that verse 5, that prayer was made without ceasing. There they were, praying as a church, time after time, day after day, night after night, for Peter's salvation, even from that prison cell. And in answer to that prayer, God sent that angel even to free his servant. That angel had been sent forth to bring Peter out of that cell and to safety. In the verse 12, as we began our reading tonight, it tells us that Peter came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Peter went to that place. The angel, having left him, he has made his way to where he knows the church will be gathered together. Now he's standing at the door of the place of prayer, desirous to come in and to be with his church family. You know, certainly there is an encouragement even there to us to persevere in the place of prayer. We were considering that this morning. And how even Elijah, he constantly was saying to his servant, go again. And Elijah kept on praying for that answer even from the Lord. Well, here was the church gathered, and as we mentioned the last time, this was the very night. Peter was released the very night before his death was due. He was to be executed the very next morning. That was the intentions of Herod. And yet the church, even at that very late hour, had not given up hope. Even though the church knew that the daylight and the daybreak would bring forth the execution of their beloved brother, yet they never ceased praying. They hadn't abandoned the place or the practice of prayer. Surely, as I've said, there is that lesson and that application for us all to never give up on the place or the practice of prayer. Even though our finite minds, our finite understanding may come to the conclusion that it is beyond hope, that it is beyond help, yet how true it is that we as individuals should never limit God. We should never put a boundary or restrictions upon the power and upon the capabilities of Almighty God. Certainly within that gathering, as we consider it this evening, there was one particular individual who had not only given herself to prayer, but also had great faith to go along with her prayers. That young lady was Rhoda. The name Rhoda, it means a rose. When you consider the strength and the beauty of a rose, surely we can see, if Rhoda in the scriptures, the strength and the beauty of her faith. There are three things I want to leave with you this evening. I want you to see firstly with me in the verse 14, the joy that came from her faith. The joy that came from her faith. The first 14, it says, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. Peter, he comes to the door. He finds it locked for security, for protection reasons. Shows the real danger that even the believers were in those days. They didn't just gather together and not have any dangers or any troubles even upon them, but rather there was a very real possibility, there was a very real danger even against them. The threat was real. Herod at any moment could have swooped and could have arrested more of the church. And yet even in their times of trouble, their times of trial and threat for themselves, yet they never gave up on the place of prayer. They didn't shun the gathering together. After Peter is freed by the angel, he makes his way to that house. He begins to knock. And Rhoda, as we are informed in the scriptures, is a maid in the house. And she goes, as her duty would be, to answer the door. But due to the circumstances, the danger, she doesn't immediately open and pull back the latch and the lock. And she doesn't just simply swing the door open, but rather, I believe there was that desire even to know who was at the door, who was at the gate before she would open it. After all, it could be anyone. It could have been soldiers. Could have been any spies even for King Herod. And so there was, I believe, that calling out, who is there? And Peter's voice returns and he's calling, please let me in, it's me. And even though she doesn't see him with her eyes, yet she believes that it is actually Peter. Even though she doesn't open that there gate, she doesn't open the door, she doesn't look upon him even with her own eyes, she doesn't see the physical presence of Peter on the outside, yet she only hears his voice. And she believes with all of her heart, Peter is standing there at the door. She had been part of those seasons of prayer. She had prayed believing, and so when she comes to the door, joy overwhelms her. Even to the point that she actually forgets to open the door. Such is the exhilaration and such is the joy and excitement within her heart and within her soul. She just completely forgets her duty of that simple duty of unlocking the door, and she just bursts and runs back in to the gathering and just was there full of the joy of the Lord, even in answer to prayer. As I said, she doesn't see Peter, but she hears him. And what she hears is an answer to prayer. The faith that God had given to her carries with it acknowledgement and acceptance of God's intervention and God's mighty hand at work. At this point, of course, she has no idea how Peter could possibly have got out of prison, how Peter could possibly be standing at the gate, how anything has come to pass. She has no idea of what Peter has even seen and what Peter has come to experience even in his own life. But yet she knows with that assurance, it is Peter. I don't know how it's Peter, but it's Peter. And all of it brings forth great joy because she knows it's the hand of God. She goes back into that gathering rejoicing. Her heart has been uplifted. God has not only heard, but God has answered our prayers in a wonderful way. Yea, greater even than we could ever ask or even think. And her heart is filled with joy as a result of that faith. Remember, as I've said, and I highlighted again, she did not see him. Her eyes did not behold him. But yet in her heart she knew, and her heart was thrilled. I think of the words of Romans 15 in the verse 13. It says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I think of the words of our Savior in John 16 in the verse 24. Christ, he encourages his disciples. He says, ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Oh yes, the joy that Rhoda had, my, you can have. The joy that Rhoda had even as she came to the door, each one of us can have. When we have that faith, when we have that acceptance, when we have that great understanding of the power and the capabilities of God. Of course, real faith isn't about what you see with your physical eye. Hebrews 11 and the verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And yet, it is that true faith which brings joy. We don't have to see with our eye to believe. And yet it is that wonderful faith that brings forth the greatest joy of all. You know, that applies to saving faith in Jesus Christ, doesn't it? That applies to the joy of having sins forgiven. We don't see physically our sins being lifted off us in terms of that black being removed from our heart. We don't see the precious blood even being applied to our lives. But we know. Oh, we know with that assurance. And the joy of knowing with that assurance sins forgiving. The joy of having peace with God, it brings unspeakable joy. It applies to saving faith in Christ. It applies also to sustaining faith in Christ. Having the joy of knowing that God is in control of all things. Even in these days and all of the news and all that is going on in our land and all of the hardship and even the gravity of the situation that is found in our land. And yet we can have joy tonight. Because we know that God is in control. We know that God is on the throne. We can't see Him with our physical eye. We can't see our Lord even at work in terms of looking and watching our Savior even moving and undertaking, ruling and overruling. But yet we know with all of our heart, God is on the throne. God's will is being worked out and being carried out. God is allowing the situation and the circumstances even in our land for a reason in accordance with His will and accordance to His divine purpose. It applies to saving faith, it applies to sustaining faith. But that true faith which brings forth joy, it applies to the place of prayer as well. We have joy in knowing tonight that God hears our prayers, each one that is saved. We have joy in our hearts tonight knowing that when we ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ, that whenever we present our prayers to God the Father in and through Christ, we know with that assurance that we have the great intercessor, we have the great high priest there at the right hand of God, and He's praying with us, He's praying for us, He's presenting our prayers even to His Father in heaven. We may not see the answer in the time or the way that we expect. Yet we can rejoice that God will answer. My Rhoda had the faith to rejoice and to believe and not to doubt. Oh, may we be like her. May we have that joy and faith tonight. Joy in knowing that we cannot see God with our physical eye, yes, but we can know with that assurance, that undoubted assurance, that full assurance that our God is the God of heaven and of earth, the only God, the one who saves, the one who keeps, the one who undertakes. The joy she had. But then the verse 15, I want you to see also the judgment she endured for her faith. The judgment she endured for her faith. The verse 15 it says, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then said they, it is his angel. My Rhoda comes into that gathering and all of the church at that time, they're gathered together and they're still in that prayer room, still praying. And Rhoda comes in and she says, you can stop praying. Prayer's been answered. Peter's at the door. Peter's standing at the gate. He's knocking even now. He's right there. God has heard our prayers. God has answered our prayers. God has done a wonderful thing. And yet the response she receives is anything but favorable. Not one member of that church and that gathering accepts or believes what she says. Not one is willing to investigate. There is unanimous consent against her and against her beliefs. She believes with all of her heart. She comes in before that gathering and she says from the bottom of her heart, with that joy overflowing even in her heart, she says, Peter is alive. He's standing at the gate. And yet they simply turn to her and they say, you're mad. Then they tried to explain away the miracle of her belief. They said, no, it's only an angel. You know, too often believers are discredited for their faith in Christ, their belief in the gospel. I think of that time in the aftermath of Christ's resurrection. It tells us in Luke's Gospel in the chapter 24. There in the verse 9 of Luke's Gospel, the chapter 24, it says, speaking of the ladies that had went to the tomb in the morning, that they returned from the sepulchre and they told all of these things unto the 11, that's the disciples, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, another woman that were with them, which told these things on to the apostles. In verse 11 it says, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I think also of that time whenever the apostle Paul was preaching in Acts 26. There in Acts 26, he's before Festus, Agrippa. In Acts 26, in the verse 22, Paul speaking and presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to these rulers, he says, having, in the verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both of the, to the small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You know, Christians today are mocked. Their intelligence, their understanding belittled because we believe in the physical death and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God from the dead. We present that gospel. We tell men and women that they are sinners, that they need salvation, that Christ is the only way. Christ is the only way to have your sins forgiven. Christ is the only way to have peace with God. And yet, what is the label that comes back? You're mad. Isn't that what was stated? That the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. It's just beyond comprehension. It's beyond the realms of possibility. Why would anyone believe in such an account? Why would anyone believe in such a teaching? Surely they've lost control of their senses. But we say with the Apostle Paul in his response to Festus, there in Acts 26 and the verse 25, he says, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. You know, brethren and sisters, even though we may stand alone for the truth, may we keep standing. Paul was yet unbowed before Festus. Even though that noble Festus, he says, Paul, you're beyond yourself, you're mad. Much learning hath made thee mad. Paul never shirked his responsibility or his beliefs. He says, I'm not mad. Never gave any ground. And even as we come back to Acts 12, here's Rhoda standing in the midst of that gathering, standing alone, no one believing her, no one accepting her word, and they're calling her, Rhoda, you're mad. And yet Rhoda refused to change her statement or her belief. Because it tells us there in that verse 15, she constantly affirmed she wouldn't back down. She wouldn't change her belief. She wouldn't change her account. She wouldn't change what she had said. She would not back down at all. You know, brothers and sisters, regardless of the loneliness, regardless of the ridicule that may come, 1 Corinthians 16 to verse 13 is very applicable. It says, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Galatians 5 and the verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Rhoda never backed down. She constantly affirmed that it was even so. Called mad. Every single person in the room, Rhoda, you're mad. But she keeps saying, no, it's Peter. And they try and find that common ground, as it were. They try and find a middle ground. And they say, okay, well, Rhoda, maybe it's his angel. Will you accept, Rhoda, it's just an angel? It's not exactly what you've said it is, but it's not just your madness. Okay, Rhoda, it's just an angel. Will you accept that? No, no, no. It is Peter. She wouldn't budge. No, it's not easy to be called mad by anyone. Never mind those who are supposed to be your friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me encourage you with the example of Jesus Christ himself. Because in the 3 years of Christ's ministry, there were many even of his followers who turned on him. John 6 in the verse 66, it tells us from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They rejected his teaching and they left him. And from that time onwards, from that moment there in John 6 and the verse 66, from that time onwards, day after day, week after week, for the rest of his ministry, people left Christ. Till we come to the Garden of Gethsemane, there's only 11 with him. And before he leaves the Garden of Gethsemane, he's on his own. But Christ never changed. His message never changed. His understanding of the gospel never changed. He set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem, and just because others left him, just because the popularity started to decrease, and just because the followers started to reduce, did not mean that Christ went, well, okay, I'll change my message. Christ was truth. Therefore did not and could not stray from truth. And Rhoda never did when she came into that building. She endured the judgment, the mockery, the ridicule. But she stood firm. Brothers and sisters, may we, young and old alike, whether it be in the school place, the workplace, maybe even within family circles, there are those and they're calling you mad for believing and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm speaking to one tonight and you've considered and you've heard the gospel and you're considering, oh, I need to be saved. You're worried, oh, what will people say? What will my family say? What will my loved ones say? What will my friends say? They'll call me mad. Well, let me show you thirdly and finally the justification of her faith. Verses 16 and 17. tells us Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. She had been called mad for her belief, her faith. But now she's been justified. Because do you notice the words of verse 16? It says, when they opened the door. Not Rhoda. The same people who called Rhoda mad. The same people who said it was an angel at the door are the ones who have to go to the door and are the ones who open the door and are the ones to look upon Peter with their very eyes and are the ones then to bring him into the house. It's not Rhoda. They have to take that walk. They have to take that journey to the door. They open the door. They look upon Peter. They bring him in. They have to listen with their ears as Peter speaks. All of the accusations of madness are shown to be unfounded and untrue. I believe Rhoda, she's still there. That's seen. She's still there in that setting. No longer is she at the front. No longer is it a case of she's standing forth telling them Peter's alive. Rather now Peter's in the midst. Peter's the one who's standing in their presence. Peter's the one who's talking. I believe Rhoda's somewhere, yes, in the gathering. Maybe just at the back now. She's peeled into the background, as it were, and she's still standing there. The joy of her faith is still there. She's rejoicing. She knows she'd had that assurance. Peter's alive. Now she's standing in a room. Peter's talking. Everyone else had accused her of madness. Everyone else had tried to discredit her story by saying it was an angel. Tells us they are all astonished. But not Rhoda, she's still rejoicing. No, I wonder, did anyone turn to her and apologize? I wonder, did anyone come over to her at the end after Peter had talked and say to her, Rhoda, we're sorry. You were right all along. We just didn't. We just couldn't believe in what you were saying. We just thought surely it's too far fetched. It's beyond the realm of possibility. Rhoda, we are so sorry for what we said. You know, there is coming a day when all of the world will acknowledge and accept the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. There is coming a day whenever the message that has been shunned and rejected, rebelled against and laughed and mocked at, coming a day when every single man, woman, boy and girl will know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is real. That the Lord Jesus Christ himself is real. That he is the King of heaven and of earth. He is the great ruler. He is the great judge. Because there's coming a day every knee is going to bow. And every single tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That includes all of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who accused Christ of blasphemy. That includes all of those of the Jewish leaders and the elders of Israel who set themselves against Christ during his ministry and sought to kill him and put him to death because of the miracles he did and because of his ministry, because of his preaching, because of who he said he was. That includes all of those Jewish individuals who said that Christ was possessed with the devil, that he was a servant of Belial. That includes all of those even today that mock the gospel, that mock the Christian. There are many in this world that mock even the doctrine of creation. They laugh and they call us prehistoric dinosaurs for believing that God created the world in 6 days. They'll tell you, oh, surely the science shows us evolution. And they mock and they belittle and they laugh and they say Christians shouldn't have any place even in society. They shouldn't have any be holding any offices in society. Why? Because they believe something so far-fetched as the Bible. But yet there's coming a day every single person's going to bow the knee. Saved and unsaved. And every tongue is going to confess Christ is Lord. And we as the children of God are not going to be standing saying, I told you so. Not a case that we'll be going up to those that have accused us over the days and the months and saying, I told you so, you didn't listen. No, like Rhoda, we'll simply be rejoicing. We'll be standing in the background, as it were, numbered with the redeemed, just rejoicing in the faith, a gift of faith that Christ purchased and provided for us, rejoicing in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, what faith Rhoda had. She didn't need to see Peter to believe. Her heart was filled with joy, and even that judgment that she endured at the hands even of those within that building. But yet she never budged, she never moved, she never bowed or changed her belief. Oh, that each one listening tonight would have the faith that only God can give through Jesus Christ, His Son. What a wonderful example Rhoda is. We only hear of her once in the Scriptures. But yet, what a testimony she had. I wonder tonight, are you saved? Have you the faith of Jesus Christ? Are you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight for your salvation? You believing on His death and His resurrection is the only way to have your sins forgiven. I trust you are. If you're not, then let me encourage you, please, get in touch with us. Please, even I encourage you in the quietness of your own heart and quietness of your own home, simply cry unto the Lord for salvation. Repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him. Child of God that's saved tonight, let me encourage you, stand for God. Stand for the crown rights of King Jesus, regardless of what is said. Regardless of the mockery, the ridicule, stand for Christ. Thank God our Savior is the one to whom every knee will bow. Let's close in prayer. I want to thank you for joining with us this evening. Pray that wherever you are, that the Lord has blessed you even through the ministry of His Word. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee, O God, this night, thankful for the faith which Christ has given to us. We thank Thee, O God, this night that we're saved by faith. And we're kept even in the faith by God Himself. We rejoice in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we rejoice that our salvation is safe with them. Lord, speak on now as the voice of man grows silent. Work in hearts, we pray Thee. Bring men and women that are not saved to an end of themselves and bring them to Thee. God, may their faith this night be placed in the finished work of Christ. O Lord, encourage thy people. Enable us to take our stand in these days. In Jesus' name. Amen.